Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who is the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan, 1080 AM. The Odyssey app live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour. And then we'll do Stat or Story at 9:15. I have some fun college football audio to throw at you in this hour of radio. But we will start hour number three. And the National Basketball Association.
Oh, what an upset. I thought you were going to go NFL.
You like that? I'm going to start in the NBA right now. Two things on this. One of it mainly Blazer related. But did people see in like Marv Albert being back on NBC last night?
Got to be honest with you, dude. I watched the entire Celtics-Sixer game.
Yeah.
I turned it on.
Oh, you missed the intro.
25 seconds before the game started. After the game started. So I missed the intro of Marv Albert.
So it was Bob Costas the last couple of weeks who did the, you know, like he used to for NBA on NBC. This was an East Conference game. It was set, you know, as you mentioned, Philly and Boston rivalry, historic matchup in the NBA. And they had him do he voiced the promo going into the game. And he had a couple of, yes! He had a couple of those in there.
Yes!
Now, I was not watching, but I did see it online. So you can go, it's fun. Like, it's a fun nostalgia play. And they did a good job of, like, you know, let's take 20 seconds to look at the history. And then he has but I'm more interested in what's happening tonight. And then he gets in, you know, look at these guys. Great night.
Did he sound super old?
He sounded super old, dude.
Well, the last year or two for him was a little like,
Weber. That's not Weber. Weber retired. We're working with Reggie. He's gone.
I love me some Marv, dude.
Who doesn't, man?
I love Marv Albert.
He bites him in the butt, and he's one of the all-time GOATs. So he was back on NBC last night. I wanted to get to a question on one Blazer, but before we do that,
it was a Blazer bowl game last night. You had Ant Simons on the Celtics, and then you had Watford and Jabari on the Sixers.
Former Blazer crime is what you're telling me. Let me ask a question. So I saw this being reported. It's that thing in the NBA that we love to do. One team who has been a disaster early in the season, and not really a surprise, I think, to a lot of people. Their moves last year made no sense to me as a non-diehard basketball fan. And now I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that never really made sense and probably wasn't going to work. The Kings have been one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're 3-8.
Well, yeah, since they started lighting the beam, they've found a way to just absolutely destroy it.
They traded De'Aaron Fox last year and then thought, you know what we're going to do? We're still going to win with Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. Let's get a bunch of old guys in here, and this is all going to pay out for us. Well, not so fast, my friend. They lost to the Nugs last night. I believe that was that the game last night?
Yeah, it was the second game,
okay. So they're 3-8 on the year, and there was a report that came out the other day that just essentially said, anybody on our roster is available. What do you want? And the Kings are now hitting the reset button for like the 27th time of my life because what they're doing is not working. I'm just going to ask the question. It could be a simple yes or no. It could be a long answer if you care for it to be a long answer. Is there anything there with Domantas Sabonis for Portland?
Well, I mean, like, for other teams, yeah.
For Portland?
No.
Why not?
Well, it doesn't really... How are you making that work?
In a trade?
Yeah, but, like, you're playing Klingon with Domantas Sabonis?
I mean, my thought would be you trade Donovan Klingon.
Oh, you're trading Klingon? I asked you that earlier as more of a joke, but you're out.
I mean, I'm not necessarily saying I'm
out.
What I would ask is, do you feel like Donovan Klingon will ever be better than Domantas Sabonis?
Hard to say yes today to that one there, Andrew.
Would anybody out there be gambling on that? Now, we can debate where Sabonis fits, and he can be not very fun for me to watch sometimes when I do randomly turn on a Kings game, mainly the one time they were in the playoffs 2 years ago, because it's a lot of, like, I'm just charging to the hoop and running through your chest, and there's not a... It's just not aesthetically pleasing.
So are you doing this for, like, a nostalgia, or are you legitimately
I'm just saying he's averaging 15 and 14 a game, so it might not be aesthetically pleasing,
but... On 50% shooting from the field.
Klingon's bigger. You could say he's a better shot blocker. He maybe is a better defender. That's
so
fine.
You're already
I'm just asking the question of, like, is there, like, would you ever kick the tires on something like that?
One,
are we married to Klingon because we drafted him and now we can't trade him?
The unfortunate thing is you don't get to do the 101. You have to have
money.
No, it
has to be salary.
You, right?
Salary would have to match.
I mean, married is a tough word to use here. I don't think the team is kicking around this idea whatsoever.
He's making a lot of money, too. So there's that part of it. He signed a four-year, 186 deal.
Yeah.
$42 million this year, $45.5 next year, $48.6 in the 27-28 season.
But you would be acquiring in that situation a two-time All-NBA and a three-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just don't know that
Will Donovan Klingon ever be that?
No.
He's a 6'9 center that is pretty much working...
We play with a small ball lineup for half the game anyways.
Yeah, we do.
But he mostly operates in the paint. He doesn't...
What's Donovan Klingon? This is just what I'm... How do we feel about Donovan Klingon right now? Is the main angle I'm trying to get at right now.
Yeah, Klingon's interesting. I brought him up to Richmond because I don't know how you watch Donovan, and it's very, very early, but how we're watching what Donovan's been so far and a little bit of what he was last year as a rookie... And it's fun to react to the what did he have against the T-Wolves? Was it 5 or 8 blocks?
It was like 18, 16, and 5. Or are you talking opening night?
Because he had one game last year.
Yeah, he had the one game where it was like, oh my God, he dominated.
I think that's a fun thing to talk about. I think the reality is he has no offense to speak of.
None.
And it's a tough league to have a center play high volume minutes who operates zero on the offensive end. I mean, when I watch any big man even contest or freak out about his pump fake at three, I always ask, why?
Why would you go jump in here?
I'd want him to shoot. I don't feel great. I mean, even his last game, I think his presence is an advantage defensively, but it's not like he's lighting the world on fire with blocks.
He's averaging fewer blocks per game than he did last year.
I know.
It's not a big sample size, but he's playing more minutes, and it's gone from 1.6 to 1.3.
Yeah.
He's shooting 22% from three, so the idea of, like, hey, I'll space the floor a little bit, you were hoping that could be a threat, and he's sub 50% from the floor.
My thing is not so much about what he's doing in the perimeter. I didn't have an expectation for him to be good whatsoever to do that. It's more like, do you see any ounce of development offensively this year? And you have to unequivocally say, no.
No, there's not been.
There's no reason to think there's going to be offense that suddenly emerges from that.
No.
And the tough thing with this league is if you offer no offense, you can be a fine role guy, but...
You become a liability at times because you're not doing anything on one side of the floor.
Yeah, and especially the way people play now of more tempo, more push, like, there's going to be a lot of games where it's tough for him to play.
And I think that's the, like, Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive centers we've seen. Like, he's a freak in the length and the blocking of shots. Even he is a liability for his team. For as good as he is defensively, there's times in the playoffs his team has had to sit him on the bench because they don't trust him being on the floor.
The Klinger is
certain lineups.
The Klinger's a little bit like our Trae Young, but the opposite, right? He's a big who is, his entire thing is he can play defense. Yeah, and Trae Young can shoot. And then at the end of the games, what does the team, what does the Hawks do? They sit Trae Young.
Yeah.
They sub for defense because they need more wings. They need more rangy guys.
They need guys who are taller and longer.
Guys who can play some form of defense to get a stop. And the Hawks have been fine without Trae Young so far through this stretch of injury. But yeah, he's kind of turning into our version of that, but the opposite.
Yeah, I'm certainly not giving. He's played 77 games in his NBA career. I'm certainly not giving up. I also think the organization sent a flare up when they drafted a center in the first round back to back years, and one of them being a, according to experts or draft analysts, an extreme reach of Young Hansen.
Most experts, right? That was a far and away. The experts said that was a massive reach. We cite the one guy who said he might be a first round guy so we can feel good about ourselves, but largely the overwhelming majority was that was a big reach.
Yeah, they're still in a unique window right now of like Dame resigns and it's winning time now, and then the next press conference says, well, we don't want to put expectations on this. And I'm just asking questions aloud. I don't know how long his development is going to take. I think he's certainly a fine defensive center. He can grab some rebounds, he can block some shots, he affects some looks in the paint.
You talking about Donovan's offense now in terms of the development part?
I don't know where it's going to go, and I don't have high hopes of it turning into something that's going to be, I think the peak level you were thinking of, does this become a Lopez twin that can knock down threes for you? And he's big and he's lumbering. And he doesn't move. You can't really keep anybody in front of him, but he's going to knock down open threes, so it'll maybe you kind of wash out some of the liabilities he can have, you know, defending on the perimeter. And I don't have very much hope that that's going to happen. He's still young, but if you're in winning time now and you just drafted another center the next year in the first round that is also a project that's going to take a while to develop. That's why I saw the Sabonis stuff, and I'm like, I wonder if there's anything there. But probably not salary-wise, because it's not an easy trade to pull off.
Well, also, like, the Kings are just... If you would have told... I don't know how old I was. When did they play the Lakers? 2002 was the year they got robbed?
2002, I believe. 2002.
I remember watching one of those games at El Indio's in Northeast Portland. If you would have told me in that moment the Kings were going to be what the Kings have become...
And not won a playoff series since?
I would not believe you.
Yeah.
Because that King team was awesome.
It's also a good reminder that even if you make the playoffs and you feel like the future's bright, it's not always the case. Because 2 years ago, the Kings were an up-and-coming team in the Western Conference lighting the beam, and now
well, what is the peak offense of Donovan? I think that's the hardest thing that organization could not honestly answer.
Do you ever see him having a back-to-the-basket game?
You got to run plays for him. I don't think they run plays for him. I don't think that's how...
Should you run a play? Like, does he shown you that he's capable of handling plays?
If you go into high pick and rolls with him at the top of the key and he dives throwing lobs, I've seen that. He can finish.
You're going to be able to do that every possession? Teams are going to eventually go, oh, they're doing the high pick and roll lob thing.
Well, then obviously you have options off of it. Depends on who the pick and roll is. I wonder what it will look like. We all wonder what Dame looks like next year. Because if you have Dame and he shows he can still fire from three and everybody has to roll up on a high pick and roll with Dame and you can roll Klingon, maybe you have something. I don't know.
Has this been what we expected? Did you guys come in with a different expectation of him?
No. I thought he's going to get half his points just crashing the glass and getting offensive rebounds and putbacks. That's going to be half his offense.
That's been a very underwhelming part of that.
He's averaging 8 and 8 right now. Offensive rebounds a game, 4 of them are at 4.2 offensive, 4.6 defensive rebounds a game. So, yeah, it's probably what I expected. Look, I'm going to be fair to them, too. Like, that draft class sucked. That was not I can't remember who went after Klingon and if there's anybody that we missed on to the point of, like, a Scoot.
What is that, the Denny Avdia trade thing?
Yes.
Bub Carrington, right?
Yes. Bub Carrington would have been the other pick. We had 2 first-round picks. One of them we traded for Avdija, the other one we used on Klingon. If I'm correct on that.
Yeah.
And so
we had Ayton when we drafted him. We did the back-to-back. We had a center, and we did. And I'm not saying Ayton was the right choice.
I think they knew at the time that Ayton wasn't a part of the long-term future, so I wasn't mad at it then.
Certainly, but they did the back-to-back center thing, which...
And then they took another center.
You know. Fun summer league, but still, like, I remember thinking... So, like, what's the peak of this?
Yeah, and it's not going to impact winning or losing at all this season. And so just asking the question aloud. They play tonight in New Orleans. Some more thoughts on that coming up in the final hour of the show, including a question on another player in a different direction than I'm going. You haven't had your mind changed yet, but I think I have. And I don't know if I'm overreacting, but we'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the show. Let's get to Style Makes Fights. I totally forgot about this trash talk that happened and then a head coach saying, basically, get your popcorn ready. We'll dive into that next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
We'll dive back into somebody returning in the NFL. That's coming up in a bit.
Oh, God. No, he's not.
Also,
he's preparing for Wake Forest.
Somebody texting into the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Swag's reading of the Portland getting New Orleans tonight. Sounds a lot like the Mariners wanting the Mets. People don't forget.
We'll find out.
People don't forget.
You jinxed that Mariner team.
Maybe that was all you. I'm the cooler now.
Nobody else had anything to do with that. It was only you in the regular season. That was it.
I have a resume A versus resume B test for you guys.
Oh, I like that.
The blind resume test.
Yeah.
How about a war of words for you? Can I throw that at you right now?
Sure.
Love a good war of words.
Words?
Worlds.
World of wars.
War of worlds.
World of Warcraft.
War of words.
On a side note, so you're going to get a hint at what game I'm talking about and who these war of words is with. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the what? Now, I did not know this. Tip of the cap to our Page State man himself last night for highlighting this. Have you seen the weather report for L.A. this weekend?
Is it pissing rain?
Are they getting rain?
It is supposed to rain harder than it rained in Iowa City last weekend for the game between USC and Iowa.
Yeah, but it's still
going
to be, what, 78
degrees
or something?
Oh, it'll be much warmer, much warmer. No wintry mix threat. But
what about
it is,
the wind?
I don't know about the wind. He just said it's supposed to be essentially a downpour in L.A. all weekend. So I was like, I did not know that. But I had totally forgotten about this until I saw it earlier in the week circulating. I'm like, that's right, I forgot. So Kirk Ferentz coming off a tough emotional loss to Oregon last second. Now Iowa's got to pack it up and go on the road. They're heading out to the West Coast in one of the biggest games for Lincoln Riley in his time at USC. They win. Everything is in front of them. They got a chance to go to Oregon next week and be spoiler. And their playoff hopes are still alive. They lose. Right back to being the same old USC. Here's what Kirk Ferentz had to say about USC in a roundabout way last year.
I'm really not worried about points per game, passing yardage per game, all the stat stuff. Points per game isn't as interesting, it's important, but, I got another one. I'll hold that in my pocket till January for you. But what is important is wins per game. And if you want to evaluate a quarter, in my opinion,
wins per game.
Check the wins per game column, because I can think of a guy that entered the conference recently. That came with widely acclaimed, offensive stats and all that. And that's usually how those guys get to become well-known, because of their, whatever they're doing, throwing it, running it, wishbone. But, then you look a little deeper. So what's this guy's wins per game? And there's usually a correlation. People that just throw the ball around, it makes it tougher to win. It makes it tougher to be on good defense, good on defense. I think Phil would tell you that. So there is a team concept here that is really important to me. It's the only way we can win, in my opinion. And come right back to it. I lost my train of thought. Damn.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it still gets down to wins per game, like, you know. Oh, I know the other one. There's a school on the West Coast right now that's going to recommit to defense. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a 42-2 lane last year in a bowl game.
Oh,
so, you know, at a place where, like, you know, Ronnie Lott played. So I just find it, you know, now they're going to think about defense. Like, you know, to me, that was the first thing we thought about 25 years ago. That ain't going to change. Like, that just ain't going to change. So the coordinator coming in is going to have to understand, like, this is who we are. It's worked pretty well. We're looking to improve. Always looking to improve.
So you had forgotten about this?
I did. I don't know how.
This was the forefront of my mind for this game.
Yeah, I totally spaced on that happening last year, and it kept popping up, and I'm like, that's right.
Because that was when they were hiring an OC.
Yes.
And they were basically like, are you going to go flashy and chitty? Yeah. And he basically gave that answer.
He was like, no, we're not going to change what we do.
We be who we are.
Point. What's the wins per point? What did he
wins per game.
Wins per game. Yeah, what's
can
the
you
most
average
important
three
stat?
Wins per game?
Ooh, that would be a hell of a wins per game metric right there.
WPG would be a great stat for coaching reference. Pages.
So that then leads to earlier this week on the USC Coaches Show. Here's what old Lincoln Riley had to say.
That has to happen. I mean, it has to happen. I mean, this is, and it will. I know it will. I know our fans are excited about this game. I know our players are excited about this game. I know our former players are excited about this game. Like this is going to be one of those days that, you know, if you care at all about USC football, you do not want to miss this. And it's been a lot of hard work for a lot of people to get to that point. So we can't wait for this game. It's going to be an epic atmosphere in the Coliseum. I already know it. Our team knows it. We're going to prepare hard, be ready to play.
Just get this out there. Nobody is excited for the Iowa game.
No.
No.
And an expected half inch of rain to fall during
the game. Did you look up the forecast?
67, heavy rains,
yeah.
Light winds, but
okay,
up to a half inch.
And look, USC can run the ball. Like, their rushing numbers is probably the most untalked about aspect of their offense. Their rushing offense, you could argue, was the reason they beat Michigan, and it was really good against Nebraska. When their passing game struggled, they ran, I want to say, for over 200 yards in that game. So they can run the football. It's not like they're the same soft at the line of scrimmage on offense. The question is still the other side of the ball with USC. Like, is Iowa going to be able to have 9-minute drives the entire game running it for 3.9 yards per carry and they can't get off the field?
Well, do you remember, I think it was last year, it might have been their Notre Dame game or maybe it was a different team. Remember they were caught in practice? The coaches had, like, those water backpacks, and they were spraying their punt returner.
To try and get them ready to play for the rain. Yeah.
Ready for rain? Are they doing that this weekend?
Probably. They got to do something. They're not used to playing in the rain. Oregon, at least, going into that game in Iowa last week, their last game was in a monsoon at Ott. Like, they had just played in that. Now, USC had bad weather when they went on the road to Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago, so they have been through it, but they didn't win that game on the road at Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is also better than Iowa.
We know USC, the home-road difference for them, right? I'm curious to see if it plays a factor because throwing the football in the rain is never easy. The ball gets wet and slick and whatnot. If Lincoln can get in a situation where their defense plays outstanding and their offense is humming, he is going to do to Kirk Ferentz, if he can, what Lanning did to Gundy.
Without a doubt.
And it's not just for the style points and the committee. It's
keep my name out your mouth.
He has, I promise you, not forgotten that answer.
Nope.
Where it was a minute 40 dedicated to crapping all over him.
Now you're going to focus on defense, the place where Ronnie Law played after giving up 42 to Tulane in a bowl game last year. So specific. Who could he be talking about? I wonder.
Why do you think he hates Lincoln Riley so much? Because he gets a lot of love?
Probably a little bit of that.
I remember hearing that the first time last year. We talked about it. That was a weird, like, real personal attack.
He also seems like the kind of guy who just firmly believes in Iowa's brand. Like, this is the way football is meant to be played.
But
this is the way God intended football to be played.
Is Lincoln the only one that's playing, like,
you're committing sin by playing football in a different... No, he's not the only
one. So why was it weirdly drawn at just Lincoln Riley there? That was weird...
Very specific. Because they didn't play USC last year. So when you're talking about they were hiring their offensive coordinator, it wasn't like USC was the next team on the schedule, and this is what he said going into the USC game. They weren't on... This is the first time they played, so... Get your popcorn ready. It's fun. What time's this game? What's when was this one in?
12:30.
It's the CBS game?
I believe so.
Oh, God. Danielson again.
Oh, God. You're just going to be stuck with Brando Danielson games your whole life.
Watching it on mute.
No, it's on the Big Ten Network.
This is a Big Ten Network game?
Penn State, Michigan State.
Oh, thank God.
CBS
yeah, let
game.
Them call that game. Nobody cares about Penn State,
so
Michigan State.
You might get Yogi, you might get Jake Butt.
Dude, Butt and Yogi are so much better than Gary Davis. Thank you, Jesus. All right, things are turning around. I can't wait. Iowa USC is going to be a lot of fun. Let's get to one other bit of college football audio. And this one ticked me off yesterday, and I'm wondering if you guys had the same reaction. How low is the bias bar sinking? Because this is pretty damn low and maybe a new low. We'll get to that coming up next. Guess who's back? We'll get to that coming up in 10 minutes. Also, do you believe what this guy's saying? Lucy Burge, top of the hour. I heard this the other day. Now, I don't listen to this podcast. But I heard this the other day, and I thought, are we really stooping to this level? Before I play that clip of audio, you know what? You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, you can.
The Sunday NFL on CBS. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. $30 for the first year. It's like $250 a month. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
Also
today.
Premier League Soccer.
There you go. Boom goes the dynamite. I don't listen to this, and then I heard this clip, and I'm like, that's... I don't think I'm ever going to listen to it.
Oh. Well, why are you saying that?
So, if I asked you, hey, Brandon Sprague, is winning on the road at Mississippi State a quality win for your resume? What would your answer be?
Am I the coach?
No, you're just Brandon Sprague, radio host.
No.
So winning at Mississippi State doesn't...
Well, who am I?
You're a playoff contending team, and I'm trying to stack resumes, and I say, you know, but this team won on the road at Mississippi State.
No.
It's not a quality
win
in your book.
I'm a playoff contender, a true contender.
Not one that you would hang your hat on there?
And I win at the Cowbell Stadium. No.
Okay.
But if I'm a coach, hell yeah, dude. You know how hard it is to win on the road?
If you're the coach, I don't blame you. If you're a coach, you brag about everyone you possibly get. There's no doubt about that. We know that ESPN doesn't have an agreement with the Big Ten anymore. And because of that, it is leading to takes like this. So I guess Kirk Herbstreit and Joey Galloway do a podcast together called the Nonstop Pod.
Hold on. No, okay. They don't.
I think they do.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's where this came from. I think they do a podcast.
Yeah, it's called
together.
The Nonstop
Podcast. Nonstop with Kirk and Joey.
With Kirk and Joey, okay?
Is that a forced podcast production?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I loved
one of the questions that went viral in this pod from this week's episode, and we didn't have enough time to play all the bad takes in this, was Joey Galloway arguing the Big Ten is closer to the ACC than they are the SEC when they've won the last two national championships and have the top two ranked teams in the country and a third team in the top 10. But it's closer to the ACC than the SEC.
Joey Galloway was great as a Seahawk.
He was a wonderful Seahawk. Yeah, I always loved the mouthpiece and the look. Yep. Joey Galloway had a great look.
Was he the first receiver with a DB helmet?
That's a good question. He might have been.
He, for me, is the big mouthpiece, the baby mouthpiece, and the DB helmet.
Because Michael Irvin had the baby mouthpiece, but he didn't
regular
have
helmet.
He had the regular face mask.
Yes, he did.
He didn't have the other two bars.
Joey had the Dion helmet.
That's a great point. He might have been.
I think he was the first one.
He was a guy who was always, you always loved the look on the field when you see him. I didn't like him in a Seahawks uniform.
Looked great.
Because I didn't like the Seahawks, but he always looked great no matter what uniform he was in. And then he gets into college football takes and he gives you stuff like this.
Oregon versus Texas. We'll say neutral site. Mm. Who wins Oregon against Texas? Nice hypothetical for you to start it off.
You want me to start?
Yeah, what do you think?
From what I've seen. And again, I'm just going off of Texas versus Vandy.
Thank you. Okay.
If you ask me before the Vandy game, I think my answer is different.
I mean, that Vandy
game, Texas
come on.
We watched against Vandy.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I'll take that Texas team.
Okay. Not the week before or the week before.
Game.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sold on Oregon.
What about
sold?
The Oregon against Oklahoma
really
State?
Football team.
So we're sold on Texas,
resume
not on Oregon.
Not
got
great.
It. Okay, resume's not great. Okay.
But I am not sold that they just haven't.
What's Oregon's best
they
win?
The same.
What's Oregon's best win? At Iowa last week?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely their best win.
I mean, other.
What would you put next to that? What would you say their second best win is?
Northwestern?
I would say, I thought you would grab your sunglasses. Be like, why are you asking me?
No. Wisconsin, Northwestern.
Really?
That's it.
That's why.
Not even a reference.
That's why their margin for error.
Just wait. It gets
is
better.
Razor thin.
Just wait. Yeah.
They can't.
Now, let's
a
look
slip
at what's Texas's best win that they have right now?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
for sure.
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
And this might sound crazy, but going to Mississippi State this year is not easy.
It's not.
I know for people that are outside They're of that region team. Or that conference.
The crazy part is this is not easy.
No,
it's
not, really that's not. The craziest part.
It's not easy to win
argument come
at
full
Mississippi
circle.
State.
It's not easy.
It's not easy to do. Look. You want to tell me you think Texas went like whatever? I'm not
you
upset
be careful
with that.
Talking like this, Kirk Herbstreit might block you.
Go ahead, Kirk Herbstreit. You can block me all you want, buddy. I just. The hypothetical stuff, that's fine. These are fun debates to have. Does Texas beat them? I have no idea. The game, this is an imaginary game that's being played. You want to think they went on a neutral field? That's fine. That doesn't bother me.
Sure.
The other part that doesn't bother me is saying that Texas has two quality wins on the red. I think beating Oklahoma the way that they did is a really good quality win. I think beating Vanderbilt the way that they did is a nice quality win.
Yes, those are good wins.
It's then the reaching to say that, you know, Mississippi State's not an easy place to play, while also simultaneously overlooking the fact that, is Florida a good team this year? No. Okay. Are we sure about Florida? Okay.
Pretty positive.
What happened when Florida and Texas played?
They kind of whooped Texas.
They did. They kind of dominated the game, didn't they? Yeah. Yeah. But that's not – okay, so that's not a quality loss. So what happened when Texas played Kentucky and they had like 174 total yards of offense and won in a miracle?
They squeaked it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I know Mississippi State is such a tough place to go play because those cowbells ring. They were down 17 points going into the fourth quarter of that game.
Well, that's because it's a tough place to play.
I thought the game grade counted. I thought control and style, I thought all of that mattered, not being down 17 points on the road to Mississippi State.
But the Texas against Vandy?
That Texas, though. That's a this is the kind of stuff that just drives me nuts, and it's what you get when
networks align themselves.
A network has aligned themselves with a conference, and they don't care. They don't have to watch the Big Ten. They don't have to follow the Big Ten. They never broadcast Big Ten games. And look, the back half of the Big Ten sucks. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, Rutgers and Maryland and Michigan State and was like
Penn State's still winless in the conference.
They are. Wisconsin, even though they beat the Huskies last, like those are terrible football teams. I'm not arguing for it.
Yeah.
It's just this idea that we're willing to stretch for Mississippi State, but then not like would Mississippi State blow out Northwestern? Maybe.
I pick them to win it, but it's
sure,
not like I'd
but
be
it's
like,
also
oh,
a hypothetical game sure. on paper, so they get credit for winning at Mississippi State. Does Horton get credit for winning at Northwestern? Because there's not a big difference between those two teams for me.
I'd love to see, in the embrace debate era of sports media, I'd love to see, like, Joel Klatt against Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, Fox versus ESPN.
Like, in a podcast debate form. Because for everything you just did on Texas, I mean, if you're going to say, like, are we the best version? Okay, how about the best version of Oregon when they played Oklahoma State?
Sure. Does that version get to count? Do we get to be our best, too?
I mean,
did we get everybody back and healthy for that game, for the hypothetical game, an imaginary field that's taking place?
Swag, do you agree with me, the take earlier? I really legitimately think you could put Dirt in a broadcast studio by himself for 3 hours, and I honestly think he could go a full 3 hours, no commercial, and just yell about all this stuff.
I totally could.
I don't know.
This is how they get you, by the way.
This is how they get me. They do a podcast and tell me playing at Mississippi State's a quality win now.
That's
how low the bar has sunk for moving the goalposts for the SEC.
If you want to say at Tennessee, beating Oklahoma, Ole Miss, there's a lot of SEC wins that you can give me that I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. I'm even high on Vanderbilt this year. That's a good win.
But you can take your cowbell.
Mississippi State?
Put them where the sun don't.
You have to end
if
it.
I tried to argue to you in a straight face, you know, we're not putting enough respect on Oregon winning at Northwestern, you would look at me and you would laugh at me. And I would say, you know what? You're right. Thank you for laughing at me. That's a horrible point. Northwestern's a fine football team. You don't get flowers for beating Northwestern on the road if you're a playoff team.
Well, you got to stick the landing, Andrew. And I think Herbstreit stuck the landing there because look how pissed off he got you with that Mississippi State comment.
It worked. It worked. They got me.
We can try. I got podcasting equipment now.
Just go record the rantings of a psychopathic man.
This is why I love hosting a show with you, because I can count on you to get fired up about the things that do not fire me up. It is stupid. It's absolutely dumb that he's using Mississippi State as his like landing of the whole argument.
That's a new bar, man. It's a new bar.
I mean,
not referencing the loss to Florida at all in that scenario when comparing resumes.
Yeah, Oregon
like
lost
that just
by
doesn't. Oregon lost
seven to Indiana, but hasn't lost since
a second game.
And Texas got bludgeoned by Florida in that game.
Then
wasn't it an overtime in Kentucky? Or was it Mississippi State?
The Mississippi State game was overtime. They were down by 17 going into the fourth quarter, and they returned a punt, and then they've scored 17 unanswered and won in overtime. The week before, by the way, go look at the box score of their game against Kentucky, who
was
also dog-ass this year. They had sub 200 yards of offense in that game.
I know.
But, you know.
The Texas one is, if you were to say, like, what bothers you, I don't know if I really give you a one that bothers me. Texas is going to be probably the one that bothers me the most.
Are we all rooting for Georgia this weekend just to get it over with?
I like Georgia. Yeah. I root for Georgia a lot, actually.
And Georgia might end up beating, my team makes the playoff, they might be, like, that's fine. I just get
Should
Texas
I feel ashamed about that,
yeah,
by the way?
Are you, no, so, I don't think and so. This is, I'll be curious, maybe we can do this later in the week
sure.
as we go down these games that are going to impact potential playoff teams. Who are you rooting
There's
for?
There's a definite rooting
interest
for
you are on the
teams.
Record, you love chaos. You want there to be mass mayhem and, like, 8 2-loss SEC teams that they have
yeah,
to filter
good
through.
Good luck to you.
And Dirt's like, no, because that means we're
well, I'm thinking it through the Oregon lens. If Oregon is
SEC
to, yeah.
teams in there rather than.
Well, my thought is mainly I don't care about that. I care about Oregon making the playoff, yeah. and that's about it. I'm a nation of one here. And if they are to yeah. lose another game and you get all these other 2-loss SEC teams, that's the scenario that
the
freaks
problem
me
is
out.
There's not an acceptable loss left on their schedule.
For Oregon. Yeah.
USC
is at home, yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with how does USC look against Iowa this weekend.
Right, but if
yeah.
USC wins
if USC
the game,
blows Iowa out
you.
And they come in and they
no.
win in a last-second field goal,
they
but that's all
field goal that Iowa
does,
still beat.
Or does
in.
Iowa yeah. going on that's the true. Road and hammering the Trojans help you more?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it helps or hurts in either way because in Oregon's mind, you went out and all this is moot, right?
No,
none
that,
of it matters.
If they went out, they will be in the playoff. They will probably yeah. host a first-round playoff game but may not get higher than the sixth seed depending on what happens.
If Iowa beats USC, it makes your win last week look better, but it lessens the importance or the significance right. of next week's game, and USC would be unranked going into that game. Washington will now be unranked in the final week of the season because yeah. they can't beat Wisconsin on the road.
And unless...
So that would eliminate any more ranked games that you have left on your schedule.
And doubtful so. To get, you need a miracle to get to the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, that's not happening. Yeah, you're yeah. not going to the Big Ten title game. So,
I mean, Indiana just barely beat Penn State. Let's not
they
complete,
did,
well,
but they had the tiebreaker they'd have to lose right. twice. Yeah. I don't know what the scenario would be. I don't know how tiebreakers
Anyways.
Would work with Ohio State yeah. and Michigan, or excuse me, Ohio State and Oregon if they won out and Ohio State lost a game. That's a different conversation.
Take a Dan Lanning approach. Who cares what Joey Galloway thinks? Yeah. Just win out and you're in.
More fuel for my fire.
You know who's top 10 offense and defense?
Who's top 10 offense, defense?
The Oregon Ducks.
That's right.
Right.
Right. Hey, he is back, and are we buying it? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
There's searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
Find
for you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
All right, welcome back in. Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour. Stat or story at 9:15. Blazers back in action tonight. We'll talk about them. The question about one player.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you like that? You like that?
Whoa.
What was I going to do here? Oh, we have the return of somebody. Are we excited to watch the return? And it might not be the return you're thinking. Are we eating W's this weekend? Jameis Winston has officially been named the starting quarterback of the New York Giants.
Well, I think they're still technically waiting for the official dart out, but he's QB2.
Oh, sure.
So
he's ahead on the depth chart. Yeah. Darts, yeah, touche. Darts got a concussion if he doesn't play.
Who's the coach? Kafka?
Mike Kafka is the coach.
Mike Kafka, smarter than Brian Daboll, because he should have been QB2 from the start.
A former Northwestern quarterback, or do I have
Mike Kafka
mixed up?
I remember Mike Kafka in college. God,
is that
where did
the
he
same
play?
Kafka I'm thinking of?
He played for
Fighting Kafkas.
Googling and. You were correct. Northwestern from 2005 to 2009.
How about that throwback name?
And then he played for, ready to count it, the Eagles, the Patriots, the Jags, the Bucks, the Vikings, the Titans, and the Bengals.
I'm more known for that than Northwestern.
Yeah, I do too. More. I remember him bouncing around as a backup for a long time in the NFL and getting a start here or there randomly in a spot. I just look, Jameis Winston's entertaining. I would much rather have him on my screen than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is just horrendous, and him going into that game when they're in the middle of blowing that lead and doing nothing offensively in the second half after Dart went down with a concussion and they had a sizable lead going into that spot. I'm excited to watch Jameis if he does end up playing, because he's entertaining as hell, man. They get the Packers. Is it in New York or in Lambeau?
It's in Lambeau.
Dude, Jameis in Lambeau is good for three picks and a pick six. You
yeah,
know
he's also
he
good for three touchdowns.
He's going to throw for 320, two touchdowns, three picks, and a pick six.
Well,
it's in New York.
Might have to
score. It's in New York. Okay. It's in Jersey, huh?
It's in Jersey. The Packers losing this game.
Ooh, buddy.
Sound the alarm if you lose this game.
Must win territory for the Green Bay Packers.
Whoa. Dude, when a beat writer is saying, maybe he should be on the hot seat. Yeah, I would say 5-4-1, you are sounding all the bells. Hmm. Especially if they lose the way they've been losing. The offense sucks, and the defense does enough.
You were very right there. Now, I poo-pooed this yesterday, and then the quarterback had some comments on it. I'll ask you if you agree with the quarterback or if you agree with my poo-poo assessment. Joe Burrow had a press conference yesterday, said, hey, look, I'm coming back, and we are very much in the mix of the AFC North. Are we buying what Joe Burrow is selling, or are we giving this a poo-poo?
Well, you're not dead, so he's technically not wrong, but
they're
not winning the division.
Mathematically, might have a point, realistically.
Their defense sucks.
He's not playing defense. It is so bad defensively for them. His argument, to your point, mathematically, he's like, Pittsburgh's in first place in the division, and they're what, 5-4? Yeah, 5-4. Baltimore's 4-5. We're 3-6, so we're only two games out of the divisional race. They get the Steelers on the road, who they play this weekend. So you win that game, you eliminate a gap there between Pittsburgh and you.
What is Pittsburgh thinking if they lose?
Dude, look at this schedule. So you get Pittsburgh on the road if you're Cincinnati. After that, you play New England at home, on the road at Baltimore, on the road at Buffalo, back home against Baltimore before closing up with the Dolphins, Cardinals, and Browns. So that next month is brutal.
Very quick. Resume A, resume B.
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
50 starts.
50 starts, okay?
Starts. 12,666 passing yards. 69 completion percentage.
Okay, hold on. 69, okay.
89-39 touchdowns to interceptions. And 100.6 passer rating.
Okay.
Resume B. 11,750 yards. 65.4 completion percentage. 86-34 touchdowns to interceptions. 97.5 passer rating.
I mean, got to go A, probably.
Got to go A, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Resume A, Tua. Resume B, Josh Allen. Obviously, we're not counting the rushing stats in that conversation, but
that's fantastic.
I saw that yesterday, and I went, oh, God.
Oh, God.
I know there's more to his.
It was rough early, and it took him a while, and then it popped a little bit later on. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Statter story coming up at 9:15. Blazers back in action tonight. We'll kick it off, though, with Lucy Burge next on The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.